I don't know how many of y'all have seen it, but let me explain why we're doing the series we're doing this month. We've been doing this for a bunch of years. In October or August, we'll do, we've done anywhere from 3 to 4 movies. We're doing 3 this year. And what we're doing is we're taking fairly popular movies, and we're using them as parables of some biblical truth. We're not at all saying this is what the director, producers intended. But we're doing it to illustrate something. Most of us, we connect more easily with stories than we do just principles and precepts. So we're trying to take these stories and let it illustrate some. Jesus did this. He was a master at teaching this way. And so that's our point. We're not trying to be cool, or if we were going to do that, we'd have brought in popcorn. But without any apology, we've picked the movies we have this time. And this Black Panther movie, I've been really impressed with it. I've seen it quite a few times to prep for this. And just to give you a quick preview, it's the story of Wakanda, which is an African nation that is highly technically advanced. And in order to protect their way of life and their culture, they have posed as a third world country. Their technological advances were brought about. They had discovered a meteorite had come and had this metal vibranium that has all kind of capacity to it, and they've been able to figure out how to best use it, and so they've done remarkable things with it. The story is impressive, but there's a universal message to this movie that I'm hoping will be picked up on. I hope I can do it justice. This is not, and I want to be careful in saying this, this is not just a black film with black actors and black director that has some good messages to it. It's a good film that has some good messages to it that happens to be black lead actors and director. I'm not dismissing at all the fact that this is kind of a milestone. The director, it's the first time, more money has been made by this film than any other by a black director. It's done $1.4 billion. And it's become a milepost in that so many families, there's this popular movie, and people of color can say, there's someone that looks like me that's a hero here. We should never dismiss that or just write it off as it's one of those kind of movies. It's well done. There's a lot to it that I think is worth catching, and I hope I'll do it, make that clear as we go forward. So I'm going to set the stage with the movie. This first clip, T'Challa, his father has been killed, and he's now going to come and be installed as the king of Wakanda. He is bringing his girlfriend, who he's hoping he can talk into becoming the queen, and he's being brought in, and I'll tell you, this woman that introduces him, she's the head of his special forces. All female. Wow. You wouldn't want to mess with them at all. So this is them coming back to Wakanda as he's getting ready to get installed.
Sister Nakia, my prince, we are home.
Never gets old.
Thank you.
So the other woman in the plane is his former girlfriend, and he's hoping that she's going to say, yes, I'll be your queen. She doesn't fall for that. What I think is really the foundation for this whole movie is how she's chosen to live her life. She has a different calling. And so he's inviting her, and she addresses him pretty clearly with what she believes is a more important calling than just living the protected life they have in Wakanda. There's something else, and this is, we're going to come back to this in a minute, but watch how she explains this.
Come home, Nakia.
I'm right here.
Stay.
I came to support you and to honor your father, but I can't stay. It's just, I found my calling out there. I've seen too many in need just to turn a blind eye. I can't be happy here knowing that there's people out there who have nothing.
What would you have Wakanda do about it?
Share what we have. We could provide aid and access to technology and refuge to those who need it. Other countries do it, we could do it better.
You are not like these other countries, Nakia. If the world found out what we truly are, what we possess, we could lose our way of life.
Wakanda is strong enough to help others and protect ourselves at the same time.
If you are not so stubborn, you would make a great queen.
I would make a great queen because I am so stubborn.
If that's what I wanted.
So for our next marriage seminar, we're going to show that and watch how many guys bail out the side door. So there's a passage that I think is illustrated really well in this movie. It's Micah 6:8. New International Version says this. It goes, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. It's a theme that while I don't believe they intended it, I don't know. It shows up throughout this movie. The idea of to act justly, it means to do what is right regardless of the cost. Not pretending, not faking it, not hiding things. And you're going to see the impact of that. You read the paper just in the last couple of days about the number of cover-ups that have happened throughout, in our country. And we're in those that have been victimized were deemed less important because an institution needed to be protected. This idea of to act justly means do what's right, and to love mercy means to not just feel compassion, but to devote whatever influence, whatever resources you have to show kindness and love to those that are in need. And it says to walk humbly with your God. The way we know how to do this, the way we know how to act justly and to love mercy is to follow his example, the way he's treated us. And this theme throughout the movie, I think we'll build a pretty good case with this. This next clip starts off, it's showing that, so T'Challa has now become king, but he's discovering some things that had been hidden from him. He's discovered that his father, when his father was king, had done some things that were desperately wrong. He had justified it. But now T'Challa has found out what's happened, and he's really concerned. And he goes to this elder, kind of a key advisor that had been for his father and now for him, and he's challenging on this because he wants to find out what's true.
So your mission did not go as planned.
What happened to my uncle, Njobo? My father told me he disappeared. There was a man today wearing a ring identical to this one.
That is not possible.
He helped Claw escape from us and he was wearing this ring, my grandfather's ring. Do not tell me what is possible. Tell me the truth.
Some truths are too much to bear. T'Challa,
that is not your choice to make. What happened to him?
I promised the king to say nothing.
I am your king now!
What he discovered is that his father had covered up that T'Challa's uncle had gone rogue and was killed, and they left T'Challa's cousin, a young boy, in Oakland, California, and they abandoned him. And so he's trying to find out. So he was wearing a ring just like mine, which is, means he's of royal blood. And the thing about this that's important is justice can't survive without truth. It's fake when you have that. You have to have truth. Truth should guide and govern what we consider just, and if we're going to pursue justice. And the thing is again, like any cover-up, if I'm not honest, if I'm not telling the truth, then I can't show mercy. I can't care for those that are in need. And that's exactly what happened here. As we'll see as it unfolds, this young boy that had been abandoned, who was of royal blood, is left on his own just because the king at the time wanted to protect the country and was more concerned about protection than he was about what was right and what was good. This young boy has grown up into a man, and he is filled with hate and anger. And he's hatched a plan. He wants to go to Wakanda because he understands some of his potential. He's got a nickname now. He's been in special forces. He's become an elite killer, and his name is Killmonger. That's his nickname. In this next clip, he has worked his way back to Wakanda. He's discovered how to get there. He understands that he's of royal blood, and he's now going to challenge the king because he has a plan that he will not let anything get in his way to accomplish.
Teta. Speak. I'm standing in your house, serving justice to a man who stole your vibranium and murdered your people. Justice your king couldn't deliver.
I don't care that you brought Claw. Only reason I don't kill you where you stand is because I know who you are. Now what do you want?
I want the throne.
Hey, you, the tuna.
Y'all sitting up here comfortable. Must feel good. It's about 2 billion people all over the world that looks like us. But their lives are a lot harder. Wakanda has the tools to liberate them all.
And what tools are those?
Vibranium. Your weapons.
Our weapons will not be used to wage war on the world. It is not our way to be judge, jury, and executioner for people who are not our own.
Not your own. But didn't life start right here on this continent? So ain't all people your people?
I am not king of all people. I am king of Wakanda. And it is my responsibility to make sure our people are safe and that vibranium does not fall into the hands of a person like you.
Son, we have entertained the charlatan for too long. Reject his request.
Oh, I ain't requesting nothing. Ask who I am.
You're Eric Stevens, an American black operative, a mercenary nicknamed Killmonger. That's who you are.
That's not my name, princess. Ask me, king.
No.
Ask me.
Take him away.
Ungubani, Ndingu Ndidaka, Unyanika Njogu.
Huh?
I found my daddy with panther claws in his chest. You ain't the son of a king, you are the son of a murderer.
Uyabosisa! Lies!
I'm afraid not, Queen Mother.
What? You indanda tokanjobu.
Hey, Auntie.
I'm exercising my blood right. The challenge for the mantles of king and Black Panther.
Do not do this, T'Challa.
As the son of Prince Njobu, he is within his rights.
He has no rights here. The challenge will take weeks to prepare.
Weeks? I don't need weeks. The whole country ain't gotta be there. I just need him and somebody to get me out of these chains.
T'Challa, what do you know of this?
I accept your challenge.
Here's a couple things that happened in that. T'Challa knows that this is his cousin, and he knows the story about how he had been abandoned wrongly. He has all the power of the king. He could do whatever he wants, but he chooses to give mercy to him. And then when he's challenged because of the blood right, which is the way their culture operated, he exercised justice and not just a capricious way of saying, we're just going to silence this guy. And he allows him to fight for the throne. That's how they did it there. Now, the truth is they did fight, and for the king to fight, he had to give up his Black Panther powers temporarily for them to fight on equal footing, and he loses. T'Challa, they think he's dead, and so Killmonger now takes over, and he's going to take every bit of the resources they have, and he's going to exact his form of justice, which is really just vengeance on the rest of the world as he sees fit. This next clip, this is probably my favorite one that we'll see. T'Challa has been found, and he's being healed. He was seriously wounded, but not killed. And he's, while he's under care, he goes into a trance-like state, and he goes into the afterlife, and he faces his father and the others that had been kings before him. And I want you to hear how he responds to his father once, now that he has known what his father did that was wrong.
The time has come for you to come home and be reunited with me. Okuba, why didn't you bring the boy home? Why, Mama? He was the truth I chose to omit. You were wrong to abandon him. I chose my people. I chose Wakanda. Our future depended
on... You were wrong! All of you were wrong! To turn your backs on the rest of the world! We let the fear of our discovery stop us from doing what is right. No more. I cannot stay here with you. I cannot rest while he sits on the throne. He is a monster of our own making. I must take the mantle back. I must right these wrongs.
The father said this, he goes, it was a truth I chose to omit. Another word for that is a lie. There are so many things in this movie that we could draw conclusions from or illustrations of. I think the way it addresses wrongs that had been done is done in a way that we can all learn from it. There's definitely a theme in this movie about how those that have been oppressed, in this case, blacks, African-Americans, or Africans, how they've been oppressed and how they were mistreated. And the fact is that their response is violent because anger or frustration, and you see that in Killmonger, he's angry as he can be, and it's colored his whole life. That's one way to handle it. Another way would be isolate and just ignore. Another way is the way Dr. Martin Luther King took, and that is to address things with peaceful but direct. And one thing I love about Dr. King, he said this many times. He says, a riot is the language of the unheard. And you're going to see this, that Killmonger, while he's done, he's using injustice to right injustice, and that never flies. It never will work. But it's understandable why he was so angry. And T'Challa has come in and he's trying to operate with justice and mercy and humility in a real world with the real truth that he now has. What are you going to do with that? this next clip, there's a lot that has happened. There's been an epic kind of battle and all that kind of stuff. But I really love what you'll see here. So T'Challa has beaten Killmonger. He has mortally wounded him. And, you know, in some movies, they would just do a happy dance. Oh, I beat the bad guy. That's not what you see. And I want you to look in this next clip for this, how justice and mercy and humility intersect in all this, and why I think T'Challa is such a compelling character.
My pop said Wakanda was the most beautiful thing he ever seen. He promised he was going to show it to me one day. You believe that? Kid from Oakland running around believing in fairy tales. Beautiful. Maybe we can still heal you.
Why? So you can just lock me up? No. Just bury me in the ocean with my ancestors that jumped from the ships. Because they knew death was better than bondage.
One of the things that shows up in this movie is that justice without mercy is cold and bloodthirsty and brutal. But mercy without justice is just kind of a sappy sentimentality that has no roots to it. That's why in this Micah 6:8 passage where it says that he has shown us what the Lord requires of us that follow him, to act justly, to do what is right, but also to love mercy. Those two have to go hand in hand. And the only way we can do that is to walk humbly with our God who demonstrated that. Instead of writing off this planet for all of the wrongs we have done in our sin, he calls it what it is, but he sent his son to be our Savior to pay the penalty for it. He spoke the truth to us about justice, but he also showed us mercy. And he says, I want you to follow my lead in this. In this last clip, T'Challa has become a lot wiser since the beginning when he became king. He's come back to Nakia, and he's asked her to be his queen, his bride, but he also understands that what her calling is really what his calling and what the nation's calling needs to be, that they're going to use their resources to show mercy and to do something to make a difference, even if it costs them. They're not going to live in isolation anymore. So in this scene, you'll see how the changes happen. It's going to have two parts to it. The first part is he's telling her he's learned something, and then it fast forwards, it goes to back to Oakland. This is where Killmonger was abandoned as a little kid and where he was radicalized through his hate and anger. And T'Challa has come with his sister. She's the technology whiz, and he's surprising her with the change they're making in their attitude toward the rest of the world.
Stay. I think I know a way you can still fulfill your calling. Please stay.
To California for the first time. I thought you meant Coachella or Disneyland. Why here?
This is where our father killed our uncle.
They're tearing it down. Good.
They are not tearing it down. I bought this building. And that building, and that one over there. This will be the first Wakanda International Outreach Center. Nakia will oversee the social outreach. You will spearhead the science and information exchange.
You're kidding?
Yeah?
Wakanda.
What is
a
Wakanda?
Hey, yo! This yours? Who? Who are you?
So when we were raising our kids, we used to watch movies a lot, and neither one of the kids liked this part of it. I would like to stop and talk about implications. Sarah's right over here, she knows. I mean, it just frustrated them to death. Why can't we just enjoy the movie? Stories have a lot of power to them. And what we've done is we've illustrated some things here. We've taken some liberties with this, but I hope it will stick with you. Justice is important. And whatever it takes to do what is true and right, we ought to be leading that. Mercy is important. There is a huge need for mercy and compassion, compassion that has feet to it. And this idea of those of us that are followers walking in humility before God and before others, I think this movie is a great parable to depict that. I think of all the action heroes and stuff, I think T'Challa is one of the, there's more integrity in his character than I've seen in many, many movies. If you haven't seen it, I'd encourage you to. If I had young kids again, we would watch it and debrief it. If I were a grandfather, I would ask permission to do that with my grandkids. I would be denied, but I would ask. There are some things around us that could really inspire us to be actively involved in the world the way God intended for us to. So I really hope that you'll think about not just this movie, but others, and what does it show me? How does this, what does the Bible say? And how does this fit? Or is there something here that's showing me something I should avoid? That's why we're doing the movies series. The next week we're doing one, as opposed to fiction, this is a true story. It's of Winston Churchill, Darkest Hour. If you saw that movie, or if you saw Dunkirk, this sets the stage for what happened at Dunkirk, which was a phenomenal evacuation of 300 plus thousand British troops that were surrounded, facing certain death. I think it'll be a thing on leadership that all of us can learn from and be inspired by. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you that this movie was made. There's so many reasons for it, but especially for today, I thank you how it illustrates in some compelling ways what you've called us to and the danger of neglecting justice and mercy and humility. I pray that you would help each of us to think about where we are in this and to look with our eyes wide open in the world around us. And rather than just being spectators or observers, that we would choose within our spheres of influence to be people that act justly, that love mercy, and walk humbly with you. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.